maintaining old buildings and heritage properties is challenging. I have personally lived for the last 30 years in a heritage building. And trust me when I tell you, I don't remember a single day of my life when there was no repair work going on. So it's a constant process.
Welcome to the Design Pataki podcast, a show that deconstructs the Indian and international design world with leading industry experts. I'm Nuria Johar, writer and features editor at Design Pataki. Hotelier Avijit Singh comes from a legacy of Rajasthani royalty that goes back to the 1600s. His family's ancestral properties, Mihirgarh, Rohatgarh, and the Rohat House are now luxury boutique hotels that capture the essence of the regal desert state. Over the past 2.5 decades, they have evolved into an exceptional bouquet of experiential properties. These have been recognized with some of the highest global awards that the industry bestows. After having worked with hospitality groups like Raffles and Taj, Avijit joined House of Rohat and has been a part of his family legacy since 2015. Hi Avijit, it's so nice to have you here with us. Thank you so much for being a part of this podcast. Given your family legacy and the fact that you've so successfully helmed the Rohat House brand, it's only fitting that we have this conversation with you. So let's dive right in to talk about India's heritage structures and how they're a goldmine for luxury hospitality.
Hello, Nuria. Such a pleasure. And thank you for having me here on this podcast to talk about the House of Rohat and our history with the hospitality sector. Can't wait to get started.
It feels like heritage hospitality is very much in its golden age. Do you agree with that?
Yes, in a manner of speaking. Heritage hospitality has gone through several phases. It is difficult to decide which one carried more weight, because heritage hospitality is what triggered off the tourism movement in Rajasthan in particular. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, when we started our first property, Rohatgarh, there were several other first movers in different parts of Rajasthan who converted their ancestral homes into heritage hotels to welcome in the discerning travelers and give them an experience that was distinctly different from what you would find in your city hotels and your kind of cookie cutter five stars. It was an experience of staying in someone's home, albeit a palatial home, and experiencing the history of the building and the history of the family, and seeing firsthand the connect of the place you had shared with the region it was in. Because all of these heritage properties across Rajasthan had a strong connect with the local populace. So this experience was something far greater and very heavy on the experiential side, very different from what you would get in your kind of standard hotels in the cities. So that is what really steamrolled the heritage movement to begin with. Of course, it's a very sad trend in India that we have to wait for the foreign traveler to show us what's good in our own country. Only then we go visit it ourselves. And that is something that has happened quite a bit during COVID. The silver lining, if you can call it, of this COVID pandemic over the last 2 years has been that Indians have discovered their own country, and heritage hospitality being at the forefront of the same, where now the Indian travelers, who are far more travel literate, I would say, than yesteryears, and are looking for experiences, are looking for stories, are looking for history, and not just kind of a standard hotel room, which all look the same, no matter where you are in the world. They're looking for something more from the place they stay, the experiences they have, the cuisine they eat, and the people they meet. So heritage hospitality has kind of reinvigorated in these past couple of years, especially with the Indian traveler. And of course, it has always remained a constant hit with your international travelers, who we are hoping to have back in our country soon.
Yeah, it's interesting that you talk about how the Indian traveler is changing, because that sort of goes into my next point. Because there's no doubt that the millennial market as well is reshaping the travel industry. You know, for us, just indulgence won't cut it anymore. We want a story. We want an experience that sometimes extends beyond just the hotel itself. So can you tell us a little more about the trends in luxury travel and how the landscape of hospitality design is changing?
So we at the House of Rohit, we are a small bouquet of properties, and we have four different properties, each offering a distinct experience of their own. So starting with Rohitgarh, which, as I mentioned earlier, is a heritage hotel, which means it's an old building. It's our ancestral home, which is 400 years old, which has been converted into a hotel. So that is what you would call a classic heritage hotel. That is what someone expects when you say that you're going to stay at a heritage hotel. But our other three properties, albeit not old buildings like Rohitgarh that have history dating back centuries, they encapsulate heritage nonetheless, in terms of preserving the arts, the crafts of the region, preserving the cuisine, preserving the experiences around, and connecting with local communities. So it is not just a building and the contents and history of a building, but a relationship of a property to its surrounding area that really preserves heritage. And as I said, the Indian traveler has matured, with, of course, millennials driving this kind of transformation of the discerning Indian traveler, because they are looking beyond just the comfort of their bed and the size of their bathroom. They are looking at more of what kind of art they will experience, at what kind of people they will meet, as I said earlier, and what experiences the property offers. And as opposed to what was the old agenda of every Indian holiday, that when you get to a place, what activities do you have? And by activities, we've heard a lot of this in the 90s. We used to get a lot of flack from Indian travelers because we did not have a badminton court or table tennis table or a pool table on the property. But that is now no longer part of the agenda of the Indian traveler. They are looking at experiences that usually we curated and offered to foreign travelers, to experience rural India, to go into the villages and interact with people, understand a little better the culture, the communities, the traditions of the region, and get a first-hand interaction with some of the local tribes and understand their way of life a little better. So now people from within our country are looking at such experiences rather than just having a resort experience per se.
That shift in perception is quite interesting, actually, also, and it ties into, you know, the idea of establishing a narrative and telling a story, because you can do it in a manner that is authentic and transparent, or, you know, you can go the gimmick route. And like you said, the fact that you guys don't have any tennis courts or badminton courts or anything of that sort, but what you'll offer instead is a more authentic experience, is, I think, what's very important for both Indian and foreign tourists as well. And what are some of the ways in which you think that hoteliers can ensure a more holistic global experience, especially for foreign tourists?
So let me talk about our other property, Mihirgarh. So Mihirgarh is our most luxurious product. It's a small 9-suite boutique property. And it's a newly constructed building. It is not an old heritage building. However, we were very conscious to keep it 100% local. Everything in the property, from bricks and mortar to the flowers that we put every day, come from only in and around the city of Jodhpur. We are very conscious to keep it hyper-local. We only used local craftsmen and local artists. We had over 100 artists working on the site of the property to create what is there today. So coming back to your question, how can hospitality providers ensure that they give an experience as such is to pay homage to where they are. Because the local arts and crafts, if you are true to them, will never go out of style. If I were to have built a Greek pavilion instead of what Mihirgarh is today, sooner or later people would get over it. It would look very gimmicky and fancy to begin with, experience Greece in the middle of Rajasthan, but that gets old very fast. But the reason people are coming to Rajasthan in the first place is to experience Rajasthan. And by staying true to your roots is the only way you can create timeless something timeless, which people can keep coming back to and keep experiencing and enjoying. And even when time comes to reinvent yourself, kind of freshen your perspective, get your regular guests to experience something fresh, you have to dig within what is local again. You cannot leave your roots and create something out of the ordinary where it does not belong.
Also, through your experience, what are some of the elements that you think people are most drawn to when they visit a heritage hotel?
The element, well, as you mentioned earlier, nothing draws people better than a good story. If the story is well weaved, if it is intriguing, if it is enrapturing, then people are automatically drawn to it. It matters far more than your basic creature comforts. People are willing to stay in, just giving an example out of the ordinary, people are willing to stay, pay a premium and stay in haunted castles in Scotland without heating, just for the experience. So we have far more stories than most of Europe or America or the rest of the world has to offer here in India, and especially in Rajasthan, where these stories are preserved. And a lot of these heritage properties are essentially homes with the families still living there, who are living part of the story. So it is a very special experience for someone who comes and interacts with such properties and with the families and stays here, which becomes the biggest draw of the same. It need not just be about the family history. It can be about art history. It can be about the history of the region. It can be about the history of a certain part of the region. Like, for example, in the Rohit House in Jodhpur, we do a very interesting early morning walk into the old city, which includes like visiting a few temples in the old city and walking into the kind of very narrow inner streets, which otherwise tourists would never go to. But it's a part of Jodhpur history. It showcases how the first kind of blocks of the city, when the city was established in the 15th century, came to be, and how people lived then, and what remains of life from back then in modern era. So it's a special experience, and you can see how life grew in the old city. Now, stories like this, you cannot really recreate anywhere else, because it goes beyond what you can kind of offer as a kind of billable experience. Everyone takes something different back from such an excursion or such an experience when they go for the same.
Right. And it's interesting that you mentioned people living in haunted castles that have no heating, because that actually ties into what I wanted to ask you next, which is that when it comes to the historical experience that a heritage property offers, authenticity is key. We know that. But from a hospitality perspective, it's also important to modernize traditional design and make it more relatable. So how does one strike a balance between the two? Because, for example, if I had to go to a space, I would want heating. You know, you want the experience, you want the architecture, you want the traditional food, but you also want the amenities that come with a luxury hospitality property.
Oh, absolutely. You can, if you are offering a luxury product, you can never compromise on the basics. And by my definition, what really defines luxury is the better your basics, the more luxurious your product. I have personally stayed in, had the good fortune to stay in great luxury products around the world. And I was surprised, the most expensive hotel room I've ever stayed in had a cement floor. The basics are what matter, and the basics are not that hard to achieve. As long as your bedding, your linen, everything that you touch and feel is of a high quality, people are willing to forgive the rest. Because as long as you don't touch and feel it, it can be part of the experience, of it being authentic and true to its region. Of course, maintaining old buildings and heritage properties is challenging. I have personally lived for the last 30 years in a heritage building. And trust me when I tell you, I don't remember a single day of my life when there was no repair work going on. So it's a constant process. And of course, it is challenging, but you are preserving something old and beautiful at the same time. So it kind of is part of the journey. As my father says, hospitality is a way of life, not a profession. And part of this way of life is the constant kind of maintenance and repair work you have to do to keep history alive.
That's a beautiful sentiment from your father. And my next question is that as tourists, what are a few things that we should expect from a heritage property? Apart from the basics, you know, from your experience, what are some of the things that tend to take people by surprise? You know, something that they weren't really expecting to experience or come across when they decide to stay at a heritage space.
So a heritage property experience, you can't really treat as a staycation, which is a mistake a lot of people very often make. Across the board, even from the more luxurious offerings to the more basic ones, if you go into a heritage property expecting to have two lazy boys and a 50-inch screen for you there, you will be sorely disappointed. The whole point of going to a luxury or a basic offering of a heritage property is to experience the region, to spend as much time as possible outside of your room rather than in your room, because that is where these properties truly shine. In their service standards, in their cuisine, in their experiences that they offer, all of that is where they shine. They might not have the most high-end amenities in their rooms, like your entertainment systems and your kind of quality of couches and things like that. But they will always stay true to their aesthetic, and they will stay true to their region. I would give you a comparison. If you compare a luxurious heritage property to, say, Oberoi. Now, Oberoi, you know what to expect. And the idea of staying in an Oberoi is you spend the maximum time you are at the hotel in your room. Whereas in a heritage property, the idea is to get you out of your room for as much as possible to experience the social areas rather than your own personal space. So you have to be sure of what to expect from a heritage property and where they truly shine to have the best experience.
And let's also talk about some of the challenges that hoteliers and architects face, you know, problems with retrofitting in structures that, you know, obviously weren't designed for air conditioning or modern plumbing, or when it comes to replicating intricate handcrafted work, limitations on permissible changes that you can make to a structure. So can you take us through any of the roadblocks that you may have encountered with any of the Rohit House properties and how you overcame them?
Yeah, so with Rohit Garden in particular, because that's the old building, tying back to my previous point about how you would not find the kind of luxury amenities in your room vis-a-vis, say, a five-star chain hotel brand, which is constructed in a new building. It again ties back to restrictions that the old buildings have. You are limited by old construction. For example, in Rohit Garden, an entire wing of our rooms used to be stables for the horses. Now, that translates to rooms having awkward pillars in the middle, which is a nightmare for an interior decorator if you want to put something luxurious in there, or put a big TV screen, or have a lazy boy couch or something like that. Same thing with the plumbing. If you want to fit in big bathtubs or jacuzzis in the bathrooms, it's a challenge because you have pillars at every 4 feet. But as opposed to that, it tells a great story at the same time, because you're staying in something that historically served another purpose in another time. So, of course, the idea is to preserve as much as possible of the old structure. And we have been very conscious to do that. We have not messed with the old structure at all. We've kept the existing structure and repurposed the interiors as best possible to preserve the history of the place. And as I said, the story matters most.
Right. And can you also shed some light on the importance of craftsmanship in the context of heritage hospitality? And I believe even with the House of Rohit property, you have local artisans and craftspeople who have come in and hand paint frescoes, and they get repainted every year, if I'm not wrong.
It is, I feel, the duty of the hospitality industry and kind of duty of the tourism industry to preserve and patronize the arts and crafts of every region. Because gone are the times where the patrons used to be the affluent and the wealthy, the rajas and maharajas of Rajasthan, who used to patronize these artists and commission them to create something new and beautiful every once in a while. That is not so anymore. The new patrons of the arts and crafts are really the travelers. And their demand for this is what is keeping such arts and crafts and performing arts even alive. Musicians, dancers, painters, fine arts, craftsmen who create various pieces of furniture and artifacts, all of this, they are all majorly supplying to the hospitality industry. And without the hospitality industry, a lot of this will disappear. As you are seeing, unfortunately, in some parts of India, where arts and crafts are evaporating because there isn't enough demand for them. So when there is no demand for a certain kind of art, it begins to vanish because people find other avenues of making a living. So it is the duty of hospitality to keep them alive. And Rajasthan, I would like to say, has done that marvelously, having kept alive not just your physical arts and crafts, but even the performing arts. We here at the House of Rohit, for example, have on our regular daily payroll at least 10 performing artists who otherwise would have not pursued these arts, would have not become musicians or dancers and sought other means of employment. So it is really a service to the generations before us to keep alive what they had started.
That's a beautiful sentiment, actually. You're preserving something that has been around for so many years and would have died down otherwise. But I think through hospitality, it's a great way of doing it, especially if you're looking at, you know, the entire foreign tourism angle of it all. And that is something that, you know, you're not doing anyone a favor. That isn't a part of things. But, you know, what you're doing is you're just patronizing an artist who, for generations, has been a part of a legacy.
You asked about how to make traditional art more relatable. In my opinion, art has a certain shelf life in people's minds. Comes and goes in and out of fashion. People appreciate it differently at different times. People appreciate it differently at different stages of their own lives. And given the global scenario, appreciation for arts keep changing. So it is important to kind of keep art relatable by bringing change to it in subtle ways. By that I mean you have to stay true to your roots. You cannot completely overhaul what a certain art form stands for, but you have to bring it to context. For example, in the Rohit House in Jodhpur, our property, all our walls are hand-painted by local artists. Now, they are also hand-painted here at Rohitgarh, but the art is very different from Rohitgarh to the Rohit House in Jodhpur, because in Rohitgarh, it's a much more traditional take on Rajasthani art. You find a lot more miniature painting, a lot more detailed work in smaller surface area. Whereas in Rohit House, we've taken the same painting, elements of the same painting, and blown it up and made it much bigger and much grander. It might not have the same intricacy that the artwork at Rohitgarh has, but in the Rohit House, it is a much more different, a much larger wow factor because it's a much larger piece of art. So it ties in greatly to the difference in experience that people have between our properties. And also it becomes a different experience of the same art, yet a different take of that. I should put that in better words. It becomes a different take of the same art in two different properties, if I can say that.
I think that makes sense. You know, you're adapting the same art form to two different spaces entirely. And while the essence of it remains the same, the impact of it is different.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Let's also look at another burgeoning industry. So wedding tourism has been a game changer in the hospitality industry. In fact, I think during COVID, the wedding industry helped revive the pandemic hit hospitality sector in Rajasthan. So can you shed some light on the newer trends in wedding hospitality and how they've affected heritage tourism?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Weddings have been the kind of steadfast source of income for a lot of the hospitality players, especially in Rajasthan. Now, thanks to COVID, what has happened is the big fat Indian wedding has gone on a diet, to quote some of my journalist friends. People are looking for more intimate celebrations with much fewer number of people. And this has got people to be attracted to properties like ours, who accommodate only a certain number of people. We are small in every sense of the word. Rohitgarh, being our biggest property, has only 30 rooms. And then Mihirgarh and the Rohit House in the camp all are under 10 rooms each. So people are looking for small celebrations at unique locations and, of course, in beautiful settings. There is less demand for a kind of Bollywood-esque wedding, more demand for a more traditional experience, more grounded experience. And that is the space where we thrive. So that has been a great uptick for us during these pandemic times.
And lastly, let's talk about the importance of ecotourism and how can we merge both luxury and sustainability in the heritage hospitality industry?
Now, this is a great kind of misconception that a lot of people have. Luxury and sustainability are not opposites or mutually exclusive. Yeah. They can very easily go hand in hand. It never need be an either or selection. Just the word luxury does not automatically imply a lack of sustainability. And I must say there is a lot of players in Rajasthan, us included, who are working, who have been working towards giving a sustainable offer for a very long time. It is not a new concept per se. And at the same time, we do offer a luxury product. Apart from just our basics like solar water heating and sewage treatment and all of that, which surprisingly is lacks in a lot of bigger city properties. In rural India, a lot that is kind of more the norm than the exception. And of course, sustainability and is not just limited to kind of preserving the natural environment, but also the cultural and social environment, relating to the local communities, kind of working with them, making sure they benefit from our success as well, keeping our staff strength and manpower, majority from the local area, hiring only local people. I would proudly say that over 90% of our staff is from within the district of Pali, where we are located, and kind of preserving a certain way of life of these communities, so that someday all of India doesn't become one homogenous people. Our nation's beauty is in its diversity, and sustainability includes preserving that diversity. So both ways, preserving our environment, social and natural, is important. And at the same time, it can be experienced on a budget and it can be experienced luxuriously. They, as I said earlier, are not mutually exclusive.
And on that note, I'm just going to wrap this up with any final thoughts that you have. Is there anything that you would like to leave the listeners with?
Yes, I would. I would encourage everyone to travel within your own country, experience your own people and see the diversity of India. Every part of India is unique and special. And Rajasthan in particular, I would say, has plenty to offer that people do not yet know about. So it is there waiting to be experienced in all its glory.
That's a lovely final thought. Thank you so much, Avijit, for joining us on this podcast. And we've certainly gleaned a lot from it. And here's hoping that the listeners will too. And yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Noria. Such a pleasure being on with you. And thank you for having me on.